I want to first say that I'm standing before you in the strength of the Lord, and I am depending upon Him. I'm going to use once again the portion of a song, number 300, that the Lord gave me early one morning. Only I'm going to add some more of the verse that I originally was given. And it is, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever will abide. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. The next portion says, there's no thirsting for life's pleasure. And I want to say how that this portion does have power. The first message was entitled, The Power of the Fountain. I want to say, and I'm not wanting to bring attention to the place I'm in, but it's all I know right now. But I want to say that when I feel the grief, I say this verse. And God does something for me. And I know that there is power in the fountain that He has opened for you and me. And it doesn't matter what we're going through. Doesn't matter what your circumstance is. You can go to the fountain. And it will work for you. Whatever your need is. And I want to testify, it is still working for me. So I'm going to not only mention the title of The Power of the Fountain, but the message of last Sunday was the river of His pleasures, or His pleasure. And this morning, the thought the Lord has placed on our heart is going to have a title, and it's the tempering of His pleasures. I'm going to again give a scripture that we have spoken now three times. This will be the third time. That in that day there shall be a fountain open to the inhabitants. That's all I'm choosing from that particular verse. There is a fountain that is open to us today. It's still flowing. It is still has the same power. It still can work. After all of these thousands of years, it does not run dry. And so the second scripture that I am also going to give, same one, Psalms 36 and 8. They shall be abundantly satisfied, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. So I also want to insert, along with those two passages, the scripture that says, where there is no vision or understanding, I'm going to say understanding, the people perish. And we are going to have a vision, a spiritual vision or understanding. It needs to be so connected to our eternal destination. We haven't made it yet. But we need to have a vision that has an end. We definitely need to understand God and His will and His purpose and what He allows in our life. Oh, we may not understand, But as time goes on, we can trace it and understand it. It will be revealed to us. I've had it happen to me many times down through my life, not be able to understand, but you wait. And God does come, and He reveals what His purpose is. And so that's got to be our understanding and our vision this morning, is that God has a purpose and He has a will for your life and for my life. And He knows what He wants to do with us. Yes. There are many times you've heard it, I've heard it. Maybe you've even said it. Maybe I've even said it. But we ask questions like, why, Lord? We might say, why did the Lord let this happen to me? Or why did the Lord allow that? It's okay to ask why, but do it in faith. Yeah. Don't do it in accusing. Some people almost accuse God for allowing something in their life. Why did you let me be this way or that way or have this come into my life? I believe the Lord is calling for each one of us to have such a trust, as Brother Dan was speaking to us this morning, trusting Him that no matter what He brings into our life, that He wants to work it for our good. And of course, I believe that having a strong belief in the Word of God concerning the things that He allows in our life is part of that vision, that understanding. And I'm going to use that scripture now, and I'm going to add something in my own words. Romans 8:28. We know. In other words, we're convinced that all things, no matter what it is, it will work together for my good, for your good, to those that love God. If we love the Lord this morning and we know He loves us, we can trust that He will not put more on us than we're able to bear. He will make a way for you and me to escape. But I want to add this thought as part of that verse. This is just my words. That all things work together for good to them that love God and are allowing His good pleasure to work. Whatever that is, if we allow it. I believe it was sort of brought out in the Sunday school this morning. Being submissive unto the Lord and waiting on the Lord. It's all part of the secret to really having a successful walk with the Lord and a successful life of faith is being submissive. So this morning I'd like to go a little bit farther and look in the scripture of Luke 12 and 32. And this is part of the pleasure of the Lord. Fear not, little flock. That's you and me. Jesus said it. Fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what He's wanting to do this morning. Reveal Himself unto us. Revealing His word, His will, His purpose, His desires. He is not a father that enjoys correcting His children or disciplining His children. Sometimes when we discipline our little children, we might sit down after them and say, I don't take pleasure in that. I don't enjoy giving you a correction. I believe that God is the same way. And the scripture speaks about Him being a father to us. And that when He is a father, He doesn't treat us like an illegitimate child. He is our Father. And if the scripture says that He corrects those that He loves. And sometimes we'll say that to our little children too. I correct you because I love you. And I'm teaching you. And I'm wanting you to grow up and I'm wanting you to be a man. And so it takes all of these things in working with children for them to grow up and learn how to be disciplined in themselves and make the right choices themselves. So it's the same with our Father. And He has a river of His pleasure. And He wants it to work for me. And He wants it to work for you. And if we will drink of that fountain, it will work. If I submit myself. So, to receive the kingdom or the work of the kingdom, what do we have to do? We have to take up our cross. A cross signifies something that's hard. And maybe Lorinda even may have said it in her testimony on Wednesday night that she wanted her life to be flowery beds of ease. I don't know that there's anyone here today that hasn't had that desire. I wish everything would just go perfectly. I wish everything would just go my way. I wish it could just be wonderful every day of my life. I wish I didn't have to taste of the bitter things of life. Maybe all of us have had those thoughts. Maybe we haven't been willing to confess those thoughts. But I want to tell you, it's okay until we realize God has a plan that He wants to work in us. He wants to work through us. He wants to, and the title of it was The Tempering of the Lord's Pleasure. He wants to temper us and shape us and mold us and fashion us, and He fashion us, and He can't do it with flowery beds of ease. Sometimes when we correct the little boys, we'll even say, if we didn't love you, we'd just let you go and let you be and let you be spoiled. And all of these, God says the same thing to us. If I made everything perfect for you and you never had a problem and you never shed a tear and you never felt any sorrow or pain or suffering, I would just leave you to yourself and you would become so spoiled. But He's wanting to temper us with His pleasure and by His pleasure. So I have another scripture in Ecclesiastes 7. And I'm going to look at verse 8 and 13. His purpose is to bring us to an end. It's the end result that He's looking for in your life and in my life. And it's the same with the correcting of our children. It's an end result that we're looking for. We're not doing it just for today and hopefully today you'll be good. We're looking toward the time when that child will be at the age of accountability, at the age of making their own decisions and forming them and teaching them and directing them. That's what we're doing. That's what God is doing with us. He's looking for the end result of our lives. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning. Well, we don't know the end. We haven't come to the end of maybe certain trials and places in our life. Maybe it's still out there in the future. Maybe we're anticipating it. Maybe we're wondering, how is this going to end? Where will this lead to? What will be the end of all of this? And we know we're at the beginning of it. We know that we are faced with something that has an end. But the ecclesiastical writer said, better is the end than the beginning. I'm not able to see the end, but that's where I need the vision. I need understanding. I need faith to believe there is an end. Whether it's the end of my trial, whether it's the end of an affliction, whether it's the end of my life, whatever is the end, we must wait for the end. And the rest of the verse on 13, better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and the patient in spirit. What's that saying is, better is though are those who are patient in spirit, because you are going to have to wait for the end of anything. So the 13, verse 13, it says, consider the work of God, for who can make that straight when he hath made it crooked? Right now, we may be going through something that seems crooked, seems totally unnatural. You've never gone through something like this in your life. And before, everything seemed to be going pretty good. And then there began to be a beginning. So consider the work of God. What is he trying to do? He's trying to do something. I want to express this some way. Again, I'm not wanting to draw attention to what I'm going through, but there is something I realize in my spirit that God is wanting to do with me right now, with this event, this occurrence in my life. He is doing something that he's never done before. I feel it in my spirit. I may not be able to express it exactly, but I want to tell you, I have a vision that he is wanting to temper me in a way that he has never tempered me before. And I don't know how for that to happen except to let him do it. And that is what we each one must do, is allow him, let him have his way with you. Let him have his way with me. Whatever it is, submit to it. Lay back in his arms. Put your hands in his hands and say, Lord, do with me as you wish. Let it work for me. He will do that. We can consider the work of God when he has made something crooked in our life. He will bring it to an end. He will straighten it out. You will realize the good that he wants to do with each one of us. We must believe it, and we must have a vision of it and an understanding that this is his plan. It is his good pleasure. It is good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I cannot have the kingdom any other way except God's way. And he will give it to me. His pleasure, I wrote it down like this, is to bring all of us to a glorious end. Oh, it's a glorious thing when we come to an end of an affliction or a sickness and God touches us. Oh, it's a glorious thing. We drink of it. We feast on it. We may go about and, Tabea was anointed and prayed for a pain in her arm. And the Lord immediately touched her and took that pain away. Do you think she just took that haphazardly and carelessly and, well, that's what he said he would do? No! She was still praising the Lord the next day. So that's what we do when he brings these places to an end. Oh, we go about thanking the Lord over and over and praising him. So he wants to bring it to a glorious end. But what about the end of our life? He wants us to have a glorious end of our life. He wants us to be able to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There will be no sweeter words for you to hear in your whole life. We will hear some wonderful, loving and kind words down through our life. And maybe the Lord will even speak to us in such loving tones that we will not forget those words or the tone. But I want to tell you the greatest, most wonderful words you will ever hear in your entire lifetime will be at the end. If it is well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of my kingdom. Oh, that will be the fulfillment of everything that he's allowed in our lives. It will be the ultimate fulfillment. Thank the Lord. So, I want to give you something else that we might get a little vision of. It's in Isaiah 53 and verse 10. This is the pleasure of the Lord. It said, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him," to bruise Christ. He took pleasure in the bruising of his son. Some way he saw that he needed that, as he needed to experience that, and so he allowed Jesus, his son, to be bruised, wounded, hurt, and he took a pleasure in that. Let's go on. "He hath put him to grief." God the Father took pleasure in allowing his son to be in grief. It says, "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed." Now we're getting a little vision here. He's been bruised and he's been put to grief. And now he can see some of the result. It says, "He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days." And listen to this. "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Has a reason, has a purpose. Oh, I want to tell you, you may be living life right now, day in, day out, going to your jobs, living a normal life. Every day is going fairly smooth, you might say. That's life. But don't be, the scripture says, for us not to be amazed. Should a day come, we know not what a day will bring forth. And it may change my life. It may change your life. But if you are using this time when every day seems to be normal, every day seems to be a routine, getting up, going to work, coming home, eating supper, going to bed, day in and day out, it's like that. And then one day, the Lord, in his pleasure, says, "I want you to pass through something hard. And I want to go with you in it. And I want you to taste of my goodness." And you know how I told you that the Lord spoke that to me. "I'm allowing you to go through this, that you will feel my sweet presence." Expect to feel his sweet presence in whatever you are passing through. So it is the pleasure of the Lord, and it will be prospered. I have been reading over in Psalms 105, just a few verses in there about Joseph. We're not going to You all know the story of Joseph, but he's written of in Psalms 105, and it's between verses 16 and 22. And it says, this is when it called the famine into the land. In verse 17, he sent a man before them, speaking of the children of Israel, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. I'm wanting you to get a vision. In just a few words that are printed in this passage, that should give us understanding that Joseph went through great suffering before he got the reward, before the fulfillment, before the end of that thing. He was wounded and hurt and disappointed, and he did not change in his faith. He held on to his faith. He went through all of those hurtful, hard places, being in prison. I personally cannot imagine being in prison. I cannot imagine being locked up myself. But he was. It said, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron. You know what that means? He was laid in a place that it was very, very hard. Now, anyone could have said, curse God and die. Like Job's wife told him, just curse God and die. And you speak as a foolish woman. We must always believe that what we're going through, we must not curse God and die until the time that his word came. Now we see the end. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord tried him. Verse 20, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. In verse 21, and he made him lord over his house. Now we've got the end of the thing. He went through all of those years suffering, and yet there came an end. And it was God's good pleasure to wound him and to bring him to a place that he was ruler over Egypt. He became great. He was the salvation of the land. He was the saving of his own family. And he kept a right attitude. Oh, his brethren, when they knew that he knew them. And what did Joseph say? It wasn't you that sent me here. It was my God. Oh, for us to look upon the places of our life and not charge God, but thank him. Did you know you can be grateful for what you're going through? You can. I remember thanking the Lord over and over for going through losing our daughter. That's not normal. But I want to tell you, God proved himself then, and he's proving himself to me again. Thank the Lord. So Joseph is one of those that passed through iron and hurtful things, and yet he came to an end. Thank the Lord. There is another scripture. Well, I want to read this. I read this on my phone. I was looking up the scripture, and this came up, and I couldn't find it in the Bible, so it's probably just a proverb that someone wrote, and it says, for gold is tried in the fire, and acceptable men in the furnace of adversity. Think on that. You and I are going to have to be tried as gold is tried in the fire. But it says acceptable men are tried in the furnace of adversity. So Isaiah 48 and 10 says almost the same thing. It's very similar anyway. Maybe someone took it from this particular passage. Isaiah 48 and 10. It says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." We can be chosen in the furnace of affliction and to endure to the end of it. Isn't that the real purpose that God has in all that he allows, is to endure to the end of it? Or to endure to the end of our life? I want to tell you, that will be the day. That will be the day. Praise God. So we are chosen sometimes in the furnace of affliction, and we are tried, and we go through the furnace many times to remove the dross in our lives. Has anyone ever been tried and you found dross in your life? I think we all have. And it takes that. It takes the Lord revealing himself unto us. And I have testified here different times of how that the Lord one day told me I was jealous. Didn't realize my jealousy. As soon as he said it, I knew it was true. That's how the Lord works. When he begins to work with us and begins to cause the dross to come up, and we see ourselves and we know it's true. There's a witness of his spirit, and this is what you need. And I want to tell you, God delivered me. I'll never forget the day the enemy attacked me. Oh, you aren't supposed to feel jealous. You're a minister, and you can't tell anyone. And I knew in the back of my mind that I needed to expose the devil. I needed to tell it. And I called Lauren in. I couldn't even hardly open my mouth to say it. I was so ashamed. Finally, I said, "I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life." He said, "You're not going to be depressed for the rest of your life. God delivered you from that." And then I was able to say, "I'm jealous." I want to tell you, I was on my guard from then on. I watched for places. That's what we do when the Lord reveals these places in our life that is dross. We watch for those weak areas, because he wants to strengthen those areas. He wants to deliver us from those things. And he does it through these trying places. So, I want to go to Psalms 66. And 10 and 12. This is a real good passage that the Lord inspired with. Verse 10 says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest unto the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins." Verse 12, I really don't want to focus on men riding over our heads, but I want to focus on the latter part. "We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." Oh, God is wanting his people to be rich. wealthy. Have wealth. You know what it means. Wealth means an abundance of valuable possessions. Spiritual possessions far outweigh any earthly possessions or wealth in this world. When we come through these places and come out on the other side, come to the end of it, and we find we have gold that has been refined and dross has been removed, we are rich. Thank the Lord. Another definition for wealth is plentiful supplies of a particular resource. What is that? Learning more and more how to trust Him. Putting all of my life in His hands. That's a resource. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't go anywhere and find this resource except to the fountain. Drink of the fountain. So it's the Father's good pleasure to allow each and everything that comes into your life and mine. It's His good pleasure. He wants it to work for our eternal good. Thank the Lord. So we started last Sunday with a question, or we gave this question. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The farther we go in these inspired thoughts that the Lord has given us, we have to say yes. At the same fountain, at the same well of water, it's going to be sweet, but it's also going to be bitter. And we can accept both. Thank the Lord.